John chapter 19, verse 30. We're going to talk to you about that borrowed tomb that Christ had. He only needed it for 3 days. Jack, isn't that something? And John 19, 30. How many have got John 19, 30? And boy, if you didn't get to hear that morning message, boy, Roddy, get that tape, that morning message. You could use that on the road. I'm not kidding you. That thing, it's just one point, but at the end, man, it's, boy, people come right out of their chairs. Was you out on the land, Sergeant? Boy, get, I don't know, you were here, but you were gone. Get that morning message that I preached. What was the title, John? Don't miss it. Don't miss what's coming. Don't miss what's coming. And I preached about the transfiguration of Christ. And I showed something there, but that about Peter, James, and John that I never saw all the times I read it. They almost missed it. They almost missed it. Get the tape, you'll see what happened. So anyways, we're excited about that. And I was telling Steve, I've had more fun preaching the last few weeks, just preaching out of the gospel here and having a great time preaching the Word of God. Look at John 19:30. John 19:30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. How many see that? Father, I thank you for the precious Word of God, and thank you for our precious Savior. Indeed, he is precious. And thank you for all the love that you bestowed upon us. Thank you for taking us out of darkness into marvelous light. And dear God, I pray tonight I can be a blessing to all that are here. Bless every classroom that has people in them, be with their programs. And just give us a great night in the Word, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, after Jesus had given up the ghost and died for our sins on Calvary's cross, how many are glad he died on the cross and gave his life for us? After he died on the cross, and by the way, he was on that cross for 6 hours, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., 6 hours he was on the cross of Calvary, suffering and dying for you and I. They took him down, he might have been on it a little bit longer than 6 hours, but as far as the time he was dying on the cross, it was from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., that was 6 hours. And Jesus dying for man, and man was made on the sixth day. Isn't it amazing how God, in the numbers in the Bible, they always seem to correspond? Isn't that amazing? And then we know that they took him down before 6 o'clock that night. We know that he was in the tomb before 6 o'clock that night because, see, in the Jewish hour, their day started at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. would start a new day for them. I know we start at midnight, but their new day would start at 6 p.m. How many are with me? And so, and they had that preparation of the Passover, so he had to come down before that. So, anyways, he was taken and he was placed in a borrowed tomb. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you about that borrowed tomb tonight. Number one, I got about 4 or 5. Let's see here. Number one, where was that borrowed tomb? Number one, where was that borrowed tomb? Well, if you look at John chapter 19, verse 41 and 42, you'll find out it was real close to where he was crucified. Look at John 19, 41 and 42. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it, I'm in verse 40, and with spices as the manner of the Jews did as to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. How many are with me yet? Look at verse 42. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. In other words, it was close by. So Jesus was buried not far from Calvary's mountain. not far from Golgotha Hill. He was buried very in the proximity, very close to where he was crucified. If you look at John 19, 20, it'll show you, Jesus was crucified, Billy, just outside of the wall of the city of Jerusalem, and it shows you that in John 19, 20, if you'll see that, this title then read many of the Jews for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. How many see that? And so Jesus was buried just right outside of Jerusalem. Now there's a big shrine and they got like a church around it where but no one really knows where Jesus was buried. You know, people can maybe think that they know, but I personally wouldn't. I just know he was buried somewhere near Jerusalem. You say, well, how do you know? You don't know, because Jerusalem's been leveled a couple times. I mean, in 70 AD, every stone was leveled, everything was leveled. So kind of hard to find things when they level out the cities. Amen. But we know that he was crucified just outside of Jerusalem, and just right close to Jerusalem, where he was crucified, Billy, that's where the tomb was. Amen? So that's where that borrowed sepulcher, that borrowed tomb was. Number two, who owned that borrowed tomb? Who owned that borrowed tomb? Well, we know Joseph of Arimathea did, didn't he? And it's, by the way, that's recorded in all four Gospels. In John chapter 19, verse 38 to 42, in Matthew 27, 57 through 60, Mark 15, 43, Luke 23, 50 and 51. It's recorded in all four Gospels about Joseph of Arimathea. But let's just read a couple of them. You're in John, so look at John chapter 19, and look at verse 38 rather. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being the disciple. By the way, that city of Arimathea, from what I studied, it is said that the city of Arimathea was about 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem. About 20 miles northwest of that city of Arimathea. But Joseph of Arimathea, how many got verse 38 of John 19? Being a disciple. I want to read this. I want you to pick up some things about this man named Joseph of Arimathea. He was, first of all, we're finding out this man that had that borrowed tomb for Jesus. He was a saved man. He was a disciple of Christ. Let's keep reading. Being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. Boy, it's a shame when you can't, take a stand. For fear of the Jews. Pilate, that he might take away the body of Jesus. By the way, let's be disciples, but let's not be a secret disciple. I thank God for Joseph of Arimathea. When we get to heaven, I'm going to thank God. He was willing to give up a sepulcher for him. Amen? But he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Look at verse 39. Boy, it gets even better. And there came also Nicodemus. Well, you read about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. When he came to Jesus by night, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Guess what? According to this, he did get born again. Amen? And there came also Nicodemus, when first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight, and they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen and clothes and spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So we find that it was Joseph. We found that the grave site was near to where he was crucified, real close to the city of Jerusalem. We found the borrowed tomb was owned by a rich man named Joseph of Arimathea. If you want to look at another scripture, look at Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. And look at verse 57. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Wow. Well, he definitely was a saved man. Amen. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewed out in the rock. And he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And so we see that, number one, where was the borrowed tomb? It was just out close to where Jesus was crucified, near Calvary, out right close to the city of Jerusalem. Number two, who owned that borrowed tomb? It was Joseph of Arimathea. Then number three, did you know that was prophesied? Don't turn to it. Just mark this down. Number three, it was prophesied that borrowed tomb was prophesied. Huh. In Isaiah 53:9, it says this. He made, by the way, Isaiah 53 talks about Christ being crucified. It's the sheep to the slaughter. How many are with me? He made his grave with the wicked. Remember, he was crucified with the thieves? And with the rich in his death. Rich man owned that grave. Amen? And so, number one, where was the borrowed tomb at? It was right near the Calvary's cross. Number two, who owned it? Richmond of Joseph of Arimathea. Number three, the borrowed tomb was prophesied that he would be there. Number four, this is what I had fun with. Who were the keepers? When I was reading through Ruthie, I said, man, you know what? I never realized all these people that were involved. And some that were not involved surprised me. Are you with me? You got your paper? How many of you got a little paper to write on? Who were the keepers of the borrowed tomb? Well, we know number one. We've already read it from Matthew and John. We know number one and number two, Joseph of Arimathea and Pilate. Not Pilate. Nicodemus. I wrote down seven of them. How many are with me yet? So number one, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a keeper. Nicodemus was a keeper. Are you with me? Who else was a keeper? Well, let's look at this. Look at Luke chapter 23. Now, you ladies, you're going to like this. Luke 23:55. Thank God for the ladies. Brother Wes, we'd be lost without the ladies. You'd be lost without your wife, and so would we, all the rest of us be without our wives. Brother Jack, you're married to a wildcat. You'd be lost without her, though. Luke 23:55. And boy, Emma, where do you see this verse? Sue, I never caught this verse in all the times I was reading before. I've read the scriptures over and over and over. That's one thing great about reading the Bible. You just keep reading. I don't care how many times you read it. Every time you read it, something else comes new. By the way, Sonia was sharing with me about her brother today. Her brother was starting to eat and start to talk. Isn't that exciting? He just got saved. I think God's doing an unbelievable miracle in her brother's life. Amen? Look at, and now you ladies, now don't you be nudging your husbands too much, because I'm gonna be bragging on the ladies a little bit here. Notice in Luke 23:55, and by the way, Luke was a physician. And when you read the book of Luke, Billy, Luke was more descriptive. When you read the book of Luke, he's going to bring out a lot more details than the other people did, because Luke, he's like always prescribing everything he sees, you know. And but notice Luke chapter 23, verse 55. And the women also which came with him, if you read the prior verses, it talks about, look at verse 51. The same also, are you in verse 51? Consounded the council and the deed of them, and he was Arimathea of the city of Jews, who himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Are you with me? How many are with the preacher? I want you to see this. So him and Nicodemus come and get the body. We read about that. Now look at verse 55. How many have got Luke 23:55? And the women also which came with him. Boy, am I loud? I'm seeing like I'm real loud. Is it loud? No? Okay. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher. Now watch this last part. And how his body was laid. Debbie's got it. It needed a woman's touch. Like, for instance, let's pick on Mark and Rod. If they were carrying the body of Jesus, they'd be real careful with them. But you know, they'd send them down. But Betty and Del would say, "Oh no, come here. Let's get it really straightened, though. Let's really make it nice." See, those women, they made sure that our Savior was perfectly laid. Amen. See, that always takes a woman's touch to make it final. When God made Adam, the Bible says it was not good that Adam was alone. See, the woman was a completer for man. Isn't that amazing? You guys are all looking at me, what's he doing? I'm just telling you, thank God for ladies in the church. Because I'm going to tell you, if it was just men in the church, we'd be in bad shape. Hello? But look at that. I never caught that before. Did you catch that before? But I'm not done with that now. Hold on. And his body was laid, and the women which followed came with him. Who are the women? What are the names of the women? And by the way, there was a whole lot more women there than were men. Who were the women? Who are these women that came? Well, got your pencils? I'm going to give you your names, then we're going to read some scriptures. Mary Magdalene was one of them. Joanna was another one, if you're writing the names. Mary Magdalene, Joanna. The third lady would be the fifth person. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Are you with me? No. Number six, the fourth lady was the mother of the children of Zebedee, James and John, the sons of thunder. Are you with me? And then I think, and I'll read the verse to you. I think a lady named Salome was there. Salome. If I studied this right, there's five ladies and two men. Five ladies and two men. I guarantee if you count on Sunday morning, Billy, there'll be more ladies in church than there are men. I'm not going to count tonight, but I'd almost be willing to bet you that there's more ladies here tonight than there are men. Isn't it amazing how ladies will serve God before a man does? God bless our ladies, amen? And God bless you men, because you men that serve the Lord, that's rare. The ladies, seems like they're up to jump up and do it, but the men, they're kind of hard to prod along. We're going to read the scriptures together, but if I got it right, these caretakers of the tomb was Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, the mother of the children of Zebedee, James and John, the sons of thunder, and another lady named Salome. Now let's look at, where do I have yet? Look at Matthew 27. We're going to read three scriptures. It doesn't hurt you to read your Bible. Matthew chapter 27, verse 55, it's a Bible study tonight. It's good to study your Bible. By the way, I'm excited about Art Carpio coming. Brother Art Carpio will not be here this Sunday, but he'll be the following Sunday, November 8th. We're going to have a Filipino day here. We're going to have a big day here. I'm excited about it. We're going to have Filipino singers and Filipino preaching. The Filipinos are going to come in their Filipino garments that they wear. I'm really excited about it. Brother Dave, do you still have your brougham? Brougham that you had? I had one, but I gave it to Bill Turner. And, of course, I couldn't get into it anyways. When Billy went to the Philippines, I outgrew it, so I knew Billy could, so I gave it to Billy. But, look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 55. And many women, remember, here we go again, were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. How many see that? And the mother of Zebedee's children. Well, that's the sons of thunder, James and John. Are you with me? Now, look at the next verse. Look at Mark 15:47. Mark 15:47. Mark 15:47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld while he was laid. While you're also in Mark, look at chapter 16. Look at verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that might come and anoint him. How many see that? And then look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 10. Luke 24:10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women, and I just gave you those other women. Remember we did those other cross references? And other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now watch. Did you notice something? It said other women, so I wrote down seven, a total of five. There could be even maybe more. Maybe I didn't get them all. But there sure was a whole lot more women than there was men. Now, I also want you to notice something else. Are you still in Luke 24:10? How many are still in Luke 24:10? Look at this verse again. Notice, look at verse 9. Now, Brian, this is after the resurrection. Look at Luke 24:9. We're going to read verse 9 and 10 again now. How many in Luke 24? I want you to get this. And returned from the sepulcher. Remember, they went to the sepulcher, and Jesus wasn't there. And the angel said, hey, he's not here, he's risen. How many are with me? And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. Isn't it interesting, Brian, that the 11 never showed up? The 11 never were there prior. Hello? It's quiet, isn't it? Now watch. And to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these unto the apostles. Then after they told him, then Peter comes and runs. How many are still with me? I want you to think with me about this. Did you also know something? When I read those names with the people that came there, I never read Mary, the mother of Jesus. I never read Mary, the mother of Jesus. Quiet, isn't it? Where was she? Where were the apostles? First of all, they fled. But I'm going to show you where Mary was. Look at John 19:27. I never even thought about this, Ruthie, until I took this Bible study. I've been preaching for 30 years. More than 30, 40 years. How many ever noticed that Mary wasn't there? I didn't. Hello? How many are with me yet? Did I lose you, or are we all thinking? When you're teaching, when it's real quiet, there's one or two things are happening, Jackie, when you teach, when it's quiet. Either one, you're laying the golden egg, or two people are taking it in. They're thinking, wow, I'm thinking about this. I hope the latter's tonight. Look at John 19:27. Then said he to his disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Mary was with John. And John never, none of the apostles showed up till after. Mary wasn't with those other, she was with John and his family. Are you with me? It wasn't that Mary didn't care. She wasn't there. They had fled. Hello? How many are thinking with me? You know, a lot of times we wonder, why does things happen? Because things happen in people's life that sometimes you can't be everywhere that you want to be. How many ever wanted to be somewhere but you couldn't be there? Wasn't that you didn't care? I guarantee you Mary cared about Jesus. But she wasn't one of them. She wasn't one of the ladies that came with the spices. She didn't, Billy, she wasn't there for the preparation. She wasn't there when Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body down. But Mary Magdalene, who Jesus cast demons out of, she was there. Remember when he cast all those devils out of her? She was there. But by the way, none of the apostles were, because the Bible said they fled. They gone, man. But those ladies, man, they were out there and they just kept watching. Boy, you can't get by a lady's eye, man. You couldn't see them, Mark. But they were, it says they were afar off. And they just kept watching Jesus on that crucifix. They knew he had died. They'd heard the words, "It's finished." But they were far enough off him when they saw him come and get that body. When they saw Joseph of Arimathea and Pilate and that Roman soldier coming, man, they followed him. They followed him right to that borrowed tomb. But Mary, see, Mary had already left. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had already left before he died. Are you with me? Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, they were at the cross, yes. But I'm talking about afterwards, at the tomb. They weren't even there that same night. They were at the cross. That's where Jesus said, "Take my mother home." She was right there. Mary was at the cross. Yeah, but I'm talking about afterwards, Brother Carl. I'm talking about when they took him to the tomb. We're talking about, the thought tonight is, who were the keepers of that borrowed tomb? And I showed you that I saw seven people so far. I'm going to show you a couple more. But I showed you seven people, and Mary was not one of them. And the reason she wasn't one of them, because she was with the Apostle John, and they were away. And they might have fled because of, they probably thought maybe they might try to kill them. How many are with me? But there's always someone in there. Doesn't mean that Mary did. I'm not implying that Mary loved her son. Believe me, trust me, she loved him more than anybody there. And then the other thing about Mary Magdalene, isn't that something? The Bible says, "Where much is given, much is when the one that loves you the most, is the one you forgive more, the one that you forgive more, they love you more." He cast out demons, out devils out of her. In other words, Jesus, Billy, took Mary Magdalene's life from the gutter, utter depths, and pulled her out. She loved him off the chart. We ought to love him like that. Amen? So I told you, who were the keepers of the borrowed tomb? I said Joseph of Arimathea. I said Nicodemus. I said Mary Magdalene. I said Joanna. I said Mary, the mother of James and Josie. I said, my mother, the children of Zebedee, and I believe this is a separate lady, Salam. And then, did you notice that none of the apostles came till after the resurrection? Are you with me? And I also said that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was not there at all. She was there at the cross, but she was not there at the tomb. How many are still with preacher? Then I want to just say this to you. There were also some keepers of the borrowed tomb. If you look at Matthew chapter 27, besides those seven people that were keepers, Matthew 27, verse 62 through 66 talks about some other keepers. Matthew 27, verse 62. Now, the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees, their keepers, they came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that deliverer said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" Isn't it amazing? They remembered, and the disciples didn't. It says in the scripture now remember, you told us that. Isn't it amazing? You know, I read in the scripture somewhere, it says the children of the world are smarter than the children of light. It's amazing. Sometimes the world picks up things that we don't even pick up. Yeah. Saying, "Sir, remember that the deliver me, and while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away." By the way, they didn't. It would have been the women, because the men never showed up except for Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And he's risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate, verse 65, said to them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can." So they went. Who went? The chief priests and the Pharisees. So they were keepers of that tomb also. Are you with me? And made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone. By the way, I read in there, I don't know how much this stone weighed. I know the angel wrote, the Bible teaches in Luke, when there was a great earthquake, and the angel rolled the stone back. But in the history, in the books I've studied, sometimes those stones weighed, I'm not saying this stone weighed this, but in some of the history that I've studied about this, some of those stones on those caves, they said weighed between 1 ton and 3 tons. That's what's recorded in history. Some of those stones that blocked those cave doors weighed between 1 ton and 3 tons. That's a lot. Hello? And they didn't have forklifts back then either. Amen? And they didn't have bobcats. Now, I want you to see something. So they went and made the sepulcher sure. So not only did you have Joseph of Arimathea, and you had Nicodemus, and you had those five ladies that were keepers of the borrowed tomb, then you got the chief priest, and you got the Pharisees, and then, no doubt, they probably got some Roman soldiers to stand by there too. Are you with me? What I'm trying to say is, there was a lot of keepers over that borrowed tomb. Isn't that something? How that was a brand new tomb that Arimathea just had made and prepared. Boy, God does everything first class, doesn't he? Yeah. Yeah. See, Billy, God knows what we need before we need it. Isn't that somehow God prepares things for us even before we know we need them? Amen? No wonder the Bible says that he supplies our need. And then lastly, we're getting near the end, not only were the chief priests and the Pharisees there, and no doubt a few Roman soldiers, there were two angels. We're talking about keepers. We're talking about the keepers of the borrowed tomb. I'm talking about the keepers of the borrowed tomb tonight. There were the two angels in Matthew 28:2. Are you in Matthew? And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. Hallelujah. When you read John 20:12, verse 12, it says there was two angels. It just recorded one there, but there's two angels. And so we know that there were angels. And so there was a lot of keepers. Boy, for one borrowed tomb, there sure was a lot of keepers, wasn't there? And then lastly, of the the keepers of the borrowed tomb, there was Jesus. But Jesus arose the third day. He vacated the borrowed tomb. And the reason Jesus, the reason he vacated, he didn't need it because, and I'm all done, because no grave could hold him. No grave. Death. No grave, nor death, nor hell could hold back our Savior. What I want to say to you is this. Because he lives, we live. And because he conquered death, hell, and the grave, we know we're going to conquer death, hell, and the grave. They sing the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And I'm glad of all that they had. I'm glad they had a first-class tomb for him. But Billy and I know there was a lot of people. There was a lot of activity going around. There was a lot of things going on there. A lot of people involved. But by the way, it was people that we wouldn't think about. I mean, it was those secret disciples that were involved. It was that Nicodemus that came by night that was involved. It was that lady that he cast out devils out of. It was the mother of those wild guys, James and John, the sons of thunder, one that called down fire on people. Boy, I like those guys. Those are right out of my vein. I must have some of their blood in me. I mean, the last people you think that would be there were there. And the people that you thought would be there weren't there. Are you listening to me? You see, you never know who God's going to raise up. You never know who God's going to raise up to do some special work. Like that little shepherd boy called David. When an army couldn't beat a giant, he just sent for a little shepherd boy named David to take on a 9-foot-9 giant and beat him with a sling and a rock. Say, man, God could never use me. I'm a nothing. You're just what God uses. See, you're just the person that God will take and do something special with. It's the person that you think that never would do anything that God uses to do great things. Study that about that borrowed tomb. Study those things. When you read about things, think about what you're reading. I never thought about that, Mark. You know, why didn't those apostles come to bring those spices in that preparation? Why weren't they the ones there to beg the body of Christ? Why was it Joseph of Arimathea that was a secret disciple? Why was it Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night that didn't want anybody to see him? He's the one that wrapped and made Jesus in white linen. Him and Joseph of Arimathea. Guys that you didn't know were with us. You see, there's people out there that we don't even know that are with us. And there's people watching us from afar. There's people watching us from afar that are just waiting to come in and do something special. Isn't God good? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. And I just pray you'll, as we study and read your Bible, help us, Father, to just glean special little truth. Give us insights. Lord, give us insights that we never saw before. Thank you for the sweetness and the greatness of your word. Lord, I pray my church will read through with me. Oh, God, it would be wonderful if more than half this church, oh, God, I would to God that more than half this church in these last 2 months of this year, I pray, dear God, more. Lord, I would love to see all my church. But Lord, if you even half my church would read through the New Testament with me, if they would just read through the New Testament, how special, how rewarding it would be to all of us. I pray you'll bless us as we read. Holy Spirit, fill us and teach us and guide us and just bring special things in our heart and help us to be better Christians for you. And Lord, I pray you'll bless my people tonight. I wonder before we go tonight, maybe you need special prayer. And you'd say, Pastor, I have a special prayer request. Pray for me. Anyone say that? Pray for me. Include me in that prayer. Yes, sir. God. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Preacher, include. Yes, ma'am. I see that. I have a special request. Include me in that prayer. I'm going to pray for you. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. I see that hand. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I see that. God bless you. And right before I close, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, did you know that He died just for you? He suffered just for you. He agonized on that cross from 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock in the afternoon just for you, just for me, just for the whole world. And He didn't stay there. They put Him in that borrowed tomb, and on the third day, just like He said, He came out. He's alive. They couldn't kill Him. He's alive. He's in heaven. I told a preacher in Toledo today, they called me from Toledo, Ohio. They want me to come and preach December 6th, the 29th anniversary of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I told Pastor Wagner, it won't be long. They're going to build the third temple, and he didn't know that. And I said, Preacher, it's so close to the coming of Christ. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, don't die in your sin and go to hell. You say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pastor, I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Just raise your hand and put it back down. I'll pray. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. But I will pray. Anyone like that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Father, I thank you for the time we had in your Bible. I bless, Lord, many hands went on both sides. I pray you'll be, they said they had special needs in their life. I pray, Father, you would help them in their special needs. God, come down and manifest in their life. May they see God working in their life. And Lord, if there be anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, Holy Spirit, convict them tonight. Help them not to leave. Help them not to leave this building or her this building. Help them or her, whoever it might be, help them not to leave until they know for sure they're saved. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's